how a person responds after a great victory, after God allows you to see something unusual and blessed in your life is a key moment. Many, many people, many preachers have said this. Those of you who have been saved and sitting there preaching for years at a time have heard this from this preacher and other preachers, is that one of the times we have to be most careful is after God gives us a great victory in our life. Now, think about this. Let me kind of lay the groundwork here and get your minds where we're at. Here we have what happens before the great victory where David kills Goliath. We're going to study what happens afterwards today, but then we have the moment of the victory. Now, what most people will remember is David killing Goliath. But I believe that what happened before that is as important as that moment. And I believe what happened after that is as important, if not more important, than that moment. And so would David have had the courage and the faith in God to stand up against Goliath if he didn't stand as a shepherd boy? That's a question we ought to consider. And then after he did this, watch this, is the victory going to ruin him? Is it going to be a blessing? Is he going to handle it right? Is it going to ruin him in some way? And so just in learning in life, how to respond when God allows you to have a victory in your life is an extremely important study and something worthwhile. Now, let me read these verses to you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And I lost my place there. Verse 55, when Saul saw David go forth to the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And then verse 18, let's read down a little bit to verse 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now this is interesting, because Jonathan is the son of King Saul. Now let's keep that in mind. Jonathan, most would believe, would have been the next in line for the throne. Tradition often was, when a king reigned, that his oldest son, when the king died, would take over the kingship. We know, because of the Bible allowing us to see what's going on behind the scenes, that God has already selected David as the next king of Israel. And so it might seem a bit of a strange relationship that Jonathan would be friends with David at this time. Verse 2, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house than Jonathan. And David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Watch this. And behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet Saul with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the same displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And so we see how David responds, and we'll read on down and point out some other things on through chapter 18 as we go. But we see that watching David respond after, how he behaves himself, how he carries himself, how he handles himself. Verse number 5, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And so this is where we're going to focus on today, responding properly to a great victory. Now, isn't it exciting when God gives you a great victory? Isn't it exciting when God allows you to do something and see something happen that, you know, as you look back on, it's kind of like, wow, you know what? I'm glad that I was allowed to be a part of that. I'm glad that God allowed me to co-labor in that. Sometimes I kind of felt that way, to be honest with you, last Sunday morning. You never know when God's just going to kind of open the windows of heaven and something unusual happened here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And we preached last Sunday morning. Folks worked hard, got visitors in here, preached just a salvation message. And it just seemed like the floodgates opened, you know, and many folks came forward wanting to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then Children's Church had a great day. And you know, that's great. That's wonderful. And every once in a while, God's going to allow you to see something. Sometimes bus captains, you know, you never know. Isn't it interesting? It seems like the days when you think you ought to have an unusually large number, sometimes you don't. And then other days when you think maybe you're not, all of a sudden you do. And all of that, when it boils down to it, is in God's hands and exciting and all of this. But, you know, every once in a while, God just allows us to see something that's extra extraordinary, a great victory in our lives. And maybe some of you have been praying. Preacher, I've been still praying. I haven't given up on that idea of one summer soul. And I've been working on somebody. And maybe the Lord this summer did allow you to see somebody saved. And boy, God gave you that victory. And now wait a minute, how you respond after that? How you respond after that is so important. Sunday school teachers, you know, I've been praying and asking God to help us to build our class to a certain amount, and God gave us that victory, or God allowed me to see this child that I've been praying for to be saved. Now, wait a minute, that's great. Victory's great, and isn't it great to see those things? We work a lot, and sometimes we work and we don't see seemingly an increase, and then God blesses and God gives us a victory, and it's so important that we respond properly to that victory. I tell the story, and I want to remind our church of this, because you know what? From time to time, that's what they did in the children of Israel's days. They would relive the victories that God gave them. It was important that the one generation told the next generation about what God had done. And I was looking back at the calendar this week, because I was looking back for another purpose and reason, but I was flipping back in my calendar, and I came upon that Sunday when we decided to have the B1 of 501 Sunday. And how God, and I won't go the whole story, but how God that week just really opened the windows of heaven, and an unusual thing happened. I think a thing happened that Sunday that the people that were involved in it, long years down the road, will look back and say, you know what, we saw God do something miraculous that day. And again, responding properly to a great victory. See, I think this. I think when you experience a great victory, I think God watches very carefully how we respond to the great victory. And I think how we respond to the great victory may very well determine how soon we'll see the next great victory in our life. And so we've got several points I want to cover, and we'll jump right into the study. Here we go. Responding properly to a great victory. This is what David did, and he did it well. Number one, let me just point this out. Let's not remind ourselves. Number one, remember who gave you the victory. Remember who gave you the victory. That may be the most important thing. You know, sometimes we can pray and pray and ask God for a victory. Then when the victory comes, we want to give ourselves the credit for it. Remember, David knew who was going to give him a victory that day. If you want to look backwards into the chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17, remember verse 45, and we review the confrontation just a minute. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defilest. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, listen, one of the best things we can remember to do, and I know for most of you this is review and it's elementary, but it's amazing how even veteran Christians, if we're not careful, forget this. If God has given a victory, then give God the credit for that victory. I think the best way to set yourself up for a failure, following a victory is to begin to take credit for that victory. And so remember who gave you the victory. David didn't get a big head after this. We're going to see this. David didn't walk around thumping his chest. David didn't talk about the great thing that he... You know what? He was very clear. He was a simple shepherd boy that walked into a valley with no armor, and God allowed him to kill a giant. And you know what? When it was all said and done, David did not forget it was God that gave the victory. I have watched ministries. I've watched men, and they ought to serve as a warning to all of us. Man, you know, even Saul, who David is going to replace, the prophet came and said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, God was with thee. God blessed thee. And sometimes what happens is we have a humble heart. God sees the humility. God blesses us because we're humble. God gives us victories because we've expressed some humility. Then we get proud and God says, well, you know what? I can no longer bless. I can no longer use that man because now all of a sudden he's forgotten that it's me that gives the victory. And he thinks he's the one that won the victory. So number one, remember who gave you the victory. Number two, credit those who trained you. Credit those who trained you. Now, I want to teach you some things about how to deal with folks to come and congratulate you. And you know what? That's human nature. And I think that's good, not necessarily a bad thing. I think sometimes it's an encouraging thing. But sometimes when God's allowed us to do something and God's blessed it and used it in an unusual way, what people do is they come up and they want to kind of congratulate us. They want to kind of say, boy, and that was a blessing. Man, I'll tell you what, that was good. You know, you preach a good message, something happens, someone comes up, you sing a special song, and there's an anointing and a blessing on it. God uses it. People come up afterwards and start saying, boy, I'll tell you what, that was great today. You did a great job on that. Wait a minute. This is what begins to happen. Now, 1 Samuel 17, we read this. It's interesting. Verse 57, and as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And he said, this is interesting, the question. Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David said, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And I think it's interesting that as soon as David wins a victory, Saul doesn't say, who are you? Saul says, who's your daddy? Who's your father? And David didn't answer and say, why does that matter? He didn't kill the giant. Why do you want to know who my dad was? You know what he says? He just said this. He said, I am the son, notice this, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. You notice that? David didn't even use his name in that sentence whatsoever. Now, there's something here. I want to give you something. Young people, get this. You know what? You've got people all through your life that's taught you and trained you. And you know what? Because of that, you are blessed to know some things. And you take those things and you go out and you begin to use them and God blesses them. And somebody comes up to you and says to you, wow, I'll tell you what, that was great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you want to take credit for something that the honest truth is you wouldn't have the ability to do if somebody hadn't taken some time teaching you and training you. I think one of the great keys and one of the most important things to do in life, by the way, is scriptural. Honor, you know, just as children obey your parents and the Lord for this right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first command with what? Promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, you know what honor means? Honor means a shifting. If somebody comes and wants to heap honor upon you, you shift that honor to your parents. And the Bible says if God sees that humility in you, you know what? It's very... Well, why is that so important? Because it's important... Because it is human nature for us to want to take credit for things that honestly other people deserve more credit for. I told this story once about a young person in our school, and they had written me a note, and they gave it to me, and I opened it up and looked at it, and I said to myself, I said, wow, I'm going to tell you something. That's beautiful penmanship there. I said, who taught you to write that well? And the little girl looked up and said, nobody taught me. I taught myself. And I looked at her and thought, no, I'm sorry. You weren't born in the hospital. Look over at the doctor. Give me a pen. and started writing beautifully, okay? And I had to laugh. I thought to myself, oh my goodness sakes. Here, I was, and what I was doing was I was saying, whose son are you? That's what I was saying. Whose son are you? And I gave that little girl an opportunity to say, my teacher taught me to, but you know what? No, nobody had taught her. She taught herself how to write that. We laugh at that, but you know what? We're that. A lot of times we're that. You know, we want to take credit for things that, yes, God allowed us to do, but the honest truth is there's people that had, if they had not invested in us, we would not have the ability to do those things. So it's called deflecting praise. It's called deflecting credit. I think it's one of the most important things to learn as a Christian. It keeps you humble. And it's not just a gimmick. It's the truth. It's not just a gimmick. It's the truth. Somebody comes to you and says, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you did a good job on this. Say, well, I've really got to credit so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Every once in a while, I'll show you this little illustration up here. Brother Val, you want to help me? And Daniel, I'll just pull you up here. Your vision. Come on up here, Brother Isaac. And come up on the stage here. Every once in a while, I'll show you this little illustration. I haven't done a lot. I'll take a straight line here. And I'll say, okay, this is a bus worker, and this is a bus captain, and this is a bus director in our church here, okay? And let's say that this is a bus worker, bus captain, bus director. And let's say this bus captain, this bus worker on their route, they had an amazing day on their route. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. They visited, God just blessed it. And, you know, it's one of those days. You know, sometimes you've got 70 promises and 30 come, and sometimes you've got 30 promises and 70 come. I mean, just one of those things. But I mean, they had 30 promises and 100 came. And so I come to the bus worker here and I say to Brother Val, man, a lot of you had a great day on your bus route. Man, I'm telling you what, you must be an amazing worker because God's blessing that thing. Now, he's got to make a choice right here. He's got to make a choice. Now, let me just share two things I think he ought to do. I think the first word that comes out of his mouth ought to be God. To say, listen, wait, don't give me any credit. The only reason anything happened was because God did. And then he should say this, you know what, but if you want to thank or go congratulate somebody, I'm going to tell you something. My bus captain's the guy. Yeah, he's the guy, honestly, that does it. I mean, I'm just a worker. I just help, but I'm going to tell you something. Brother so-and-so, he's my so-and-so, I come over Brother Damon. And I said, yeah, talk to Brother Val, your worker. Man, you got that incredible day. Oh, God, that's incredible. That's amazing. I'm telling you what, you must be an amazing captain. Now, this guy's going to make it. By the way, we don't think this is a big deal because this happens off in the shadows somewhere. This don't happen center stage, but God's watching it. God's watching right now. Okay, David, I helped you out there when you were a shepherd by yourself. I helped you kill the lion and the bear. And by the way, I helped you in front of everybody now. Now, are you going to forget who gave you the victory? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what I just did through you? What are you going to do with it? Now, he ought to say, honestly, he ought to say, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. First of all, preacher, give God the glory. Yeah, I mean, give God the glory. If he doesn't do it, nothing happens. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to go congratulate somebody, our bus director's really helped me a lot. He's helped me to learn how to be a bus captain and all that. So I'm like, man, all right. Okay. So I'll go see Brother Isaac, your bus director. I'm telling you what, the bus ministry is doing great. Especially that one route. I talked to the bus captain, Brother Daniel. He said, you're the man. Listen, I just wanted to tell you, man, you're doing a fantastic job. Now you've got to make a choice. Are you listening? You say, wait a minute. Is there anybody else to pass it up to? Well, then what you got to do is turn around and say, well, listen, you know what? Hey, I appreciate you coming, but you know what? You got to go, first of all, God is the Lord. But you know what? They're the ones that did it. You got to go back and see Brother Dan. And I come back to see Brother Dan and say, listen, this is getting tiresome. All right. And then I said, come on, Brother Daniel. I mean, he told me you're the man. And he said, you know what? God gets the glory. But honestly, if you want to thank somebody, I couldn't do it without my workers. You need to go thank my workers. And here I go. You know what, folks? When it comes to credit and praise, we ought to be playing hot potato with it. You ever play the kids' game hot potato? You know what? Somebody throws it in your hand, you throw something, you get it out of your hand as quick as possible. I'm going to tell you something. A good practice in life is this. If God blesses you and God gives you a victory, number one, you give Him credit, and number two, you deflect praise to people that are more deserving than yourself. Yeah, I don't think anybody else is more deserving than me, and you are delusional. You are delusional. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Okay? Everything that I now have the ability to do in life, that God's blessed me with the ability and gifts to do in life, the honest truth is, He's used scores of human people to help teach and train and mold and make. And the idea that I am what I am because of me, it is no wonder God pulls the plug on that kind of attitude. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Now, every once in a while, I want you to see that. Because here, let's watch this. The quickest way for us to lose the blessing of God on this ministry is for individuals or the pastor or somebody to begin to stand up and say, yeah, what's happening here is because of me. And if we start doing that, start taking credit to God, we'll pull the plug on it. Well, we got a lot left to cover in a short amount of time, but that's worth it right there. 1 Samuel 17, verse 54. Let me just give you a quick thought. Number one, remember who gave you the victory. Number three, credit those who trained you. Number three, put your trophies in your tent. Put your trophies in your tent. I think it's good to have some reminders. I think God sometimes allows us to have some trophies. I think God allows us sometimes to have some victories. And there's some mementos of those victories. But verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But this, but he put his, speaking of Goliath's armor, but he put, remember, David didn't have any armor in this battle. So it wasn't his armor. It was the trophies. It was the trophies of the battle. Where did he put them? He took the head and took it to Jerusalem. He took the armor, put it in his tent. I think every once in a while it's nice to have some mementos of some victories that God's given you. I think every once in a while it's good to have a secret place where you go to and you just look at some things that remind you of what God has done in the past. I don't think that's wrong at all. I think, but you know what? Those of us that want to build a trophy case in the foyer and display our trophies, I think that's where we... Notice the humility, folks. Everything we're seeing comes back to one thing. David came out of this experience, watch this, more humble than when he walked in. And I could wrap the whole Sunday school lesson up in that one nutshell, because almost everything we're going to say comes back to it. David and his humility. Now, listen, folks, let's not forget that. He kept the trophies. I think every once in a while, David, in the privacy of his heart, went to that place in his tent, that private place, and took those things out and laid them out, and maybe made an altar of them. And prayed to God and touched those things and said, God, you know what? You stood with me. How many times in the future, as David is the king of Israel and he faces giants, that sometimes we need to just go back and lay those trophies out and touch them and pray and say, God, you were with me that day in that valley. I need you to be with me in this valley. There's another giant waiting out there, Lord, and I need your help. I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you have mementos of former victory. I think it's good. From time to time, as I mentioned, they were commanded, children of Israel were commanded to write songs and sing songs and remind the next generation of the victories because it builds faith. But you know what? Keep those mementos in your tent. Keep them in your tent. Number four, focus on wise behavior. Focus on wise behavior. I think that we need to be very, very, very careful right after God gives us a great victory. We see over and over this statement. Let's read the three verses that I've got marked here. 18:5, 1 Samuel 18:5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Look down at verse number 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. And then again in verse 30, towards the end of the chapter, then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And see, David realized, now all of a sudden, you're not some shepherd boy in the shadows. All of a sudden, because of what God allowed you to do, there's people that are watching you and looking at you. And you know what? If there's ever a time to make sure that you consciously behave yourself with great wisdom and say what you ought to say and be as you ought to be and do what you ought to do. You see, folks, listen. The biggest danger after a great victory is that it tends to make us ripe for a great defeat. The biggest danger after a great
victories, it tends to make us ripe for a great defeat. Seems like when we're in that euphoria of the victory, and that's when we tend to let our guard down. That's when we get this little bit of feeling of being invincible, and boy, the devil watches that, and boy, he lines up the snares and lines up the trap, because all of a sudden our heads are in the clouds, and we're not using good sense and carefulness in our Christian life. What I would say is this: if God gives you a great victory, use great wisdom in the days following that victory. Number five, I'm going to run through these rest of them as quick as I can. Welcome new friends. Welcome new friends. You notice what happened right after the victory, chapter 18. God, because of what God allowed David to do, he brought Jonathan into his life. And sometimes I think the blessings of experiencing new great victories is that God allows and uses those opportunities to bring new acquaintances, to allow us to get to know new people. I would say this, folks, listen, we're going to go through our fall program here. We're praying every week that God gives us good victories. But listen, these folks, our visitors that are coming in, let's make new friends during our time of victory. I'm going to give you something here. I'm saying it right with visitors in the church here. But if all we're doing is trying to get people in the church so we can put a number on a board, then we've missed the whole purpose of it. You visitors are not just here for us to say, hey, look, we have some visitors. You're important to this preacher, and you're important to this church. And we are hoping that the folks that come and visit us in the weeks ahead, many of you will become lifelong friends. I hope you'll find a home here. I hope you'll feel comfortable here. I hope that you'll feel like, you know what, this is a church family that I can trust and that I want to be a part of. And God brought into David's life a good friend. Jonathan was a friend above all friends in David's life, kept David grounded, was a blessing to him. And so welcome new friends. Quickly, let me give you a few other things. Let others sing of your accomplishments. Never sing your own song. Let others sing of your accomplishments. If somebody's going to sing, let somebody else do it. Never sing your own song. The Philistine women came out. They began to sing this song: Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Now, if they wrote that and sang it, that's fine. But David shouldn't have been writing that and then passing it around. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. We begin to sing our own songs, we get ourselves in trouble. I read this week. I thought it was so funny. Watch this. Ben Franklin said this: Praise is like perfume. A little bit of it won't hurt you as long as you don't swallow it. Some of us are drinking our own perfume. Okay? When the women sang this song, the women sang this song, but warriors were sharpening their swords for the next battle. Let the women sing their song. You get ready for the next battle. Let somebody else say it. Let somebody else say it. Let somebody else, if there's something to be said, say it. But don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in that. Let others sing of your accomplishments. Never sing your own song. Then I have to say this because of what we see happen in Saul's life. Be aware of jealousy. Beware of becoming jealous. First Samuel 18:8. Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. To me they have ascribed the thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Now, let me help you with some things here. There's always, because we're just all made out of the same junk, folks. We are. We're all flesh. Everybody's human. And even in the work of God, you know what? There tends to be jealousies if we're not careful. You know what? God gives you a great victory on your route or in your Sunday school class or in your segment of the ministry here. And maybe that'll happen 1 week. Maybe 3 weeks later, there's a victory in some other area. You know what? I think not only responding to our own victory is important, how we respond to it, but how we respond to the victory of others around us. Now, think about the song these ladies sang. They sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have thousands. That ain't too bad. That's not too bad. You know, but Saul could not even be blessed in what God allowed him to do. The joy of what he was allowed to accomplish, he allowed that joy stolen from him
because he was upset that somebody had accomplished more than he had, and that people were noticing, and people were saying that. And this is something we've got to be so careful. 1 Samuel 18:9, if you look at the next verse, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." It affected and poisoned their relationship. Now, folks, listen. How do you diffuse jealousy? You diffuse jealousy with gracious humility. You diffuse jealousy with gracious humility. I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll get this. There is no limit what a church can accomplish as long as no one wants to get the credit. Let me say it again. There's no limit what a church can accomplish as long as no one wants to get the credit. And I think as long as we just credit the Lord. Be careful. Bus captains, listen to me. Be careful. Okay? If you get upset every time you walk in, and we don't have the attendance board up, we're remodeling, but if you can't enjoy the 47 that God lets you bring in today because somebody else had 54, you need to get your heart right. You're not figuring out what this thing's all about. Okay? If some other Sunday school teacher, I don't know, I don't have my teachers in here, they're teaching their class, but if some other Sunday school teacher, God, for whatever reason, this year has just blessed their class, and it's just growing, and maybe yours is struggling a little bit, and you can't enjoy what you're doing because you're sitting there aggravated about what, then stop it. What are we doing? I'll say that to our church as a whole, too. You know what? I'm glad when God does something unusual here and blesses this church, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm glad when God blesses in some other church in an unusual way and blesses and does something remarkable. I want to be the preacher that other preachers can call and share the blessings of their ministry, and I rejoice with them equally as they rejoice. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that preacher, that type of preacher, is rare. It is. You know, it's one of the hardest things to do in the ministry is when God does do something with you and you just want to share it with somebody because God blessed in an unusual way. And you think down your list of preacher friends and think, who could I call and say, let me share what happened Sunday, and feel like that they could not only be glad about it, but rejoice with you in it. And that's rare. I mean it. I know a lot of preachers. There wouldn't be too many of them that I would call after Sunday like we had last Sunday and say a thing to. Because all of a sudden they get quiet and they get kind of snippy and they get kind of, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be that guy. I hope that when something happens into, and I'm not talking about just churches in another state. I'm not talking about Derek and Rebecca. I mean, I'm talking about good Bible preaching churches in this area. Okay, I'm not going to drink whatever Kool-Aid turns you into a jealous Christian or a jealous preacher because God blesses some other church and they have a good day or they see an unusual moving of God. Beware of jealousy. I'm telling you, folks, it's like a poison. And if you haven't got victory of that, preacher, yeah, I know what you're saying. And, yeah, I know, but you won't stop. Get victory over this thing. Rejoice. Be genuinely glad when God blesses some other Christian. Hey, I said that a minute ago about a preacher calling another preacher. If a church member had God bless them in some unusual way in their family, can they come to you as a fellow church member and share that blessing and you rejoice with those that rejoice? Or are you going to walk away and go, I don't know why God's blessing her. I don't know why He's not blessing her. We've been about to do your God. I mean, if somebody come to you and said, man, I got to share this with somebody. I opened an envelope this week and we've been praying for a need we had and somebody, I don't even know who, sent us $500 extra. Could you rejoice with them or would you just all the way home be mad because why didn't God send me $500? Come on. What I'm saying is, I think God came down in power and God helped David defeat Goliath. Now what? Now God's watching. And God's seeing. And God's figuring out what He can trust this man with the rest of his life. How many more victories can I give him? Will he handle it right? Will he do what he ought to with it? Let me close out by just giving you the next handful. Expect some javelins. Expect some javelins. And after David won the victory, next thing you know, Saul's casting javelins at him. You know what? After we win a victory, the fiery darts of the wicked is going to come. Satan's mad.
It's always expected. Number 9, stay humble. David said unto Saul, who am I? Chapter 18, verse 18. What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? David had a humility about him. Number 10, expect more battles. 1 Samuel 18:30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And here's the reason that we shouldn't get too caught up in the glory of a victory. Because I promise you folks, it won't be a day or two later, and here comes another battle. And as I said a minute ago, let somebody else be composing the victory songs. You just sharpen your sword. Because I promise you, if we are allowed to see a victory, then the devil's already planning the next war, the next attack. And so what we need to do is get ready for the next battle, not get too overcome in the rejoicing of the current victory. I hope this has been a help to you. A key moment in the life of David. Heavenly Father, bless what we've studied together, Lord. And I pray that you'll bless the service that will follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.